Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Let's all read verses 4 through 7, and then we can be seated. Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, We Desire Your Great Wisdom, Lord. How many believe that you need God's wisdom when it pertains to decisions that we are confronted on a daily basis? We need God's wisdom. We need His grace. We need to understand, Lord, is this decision based upon feeling? Is it based upon facts? More so, is it based upon thy will, God? And so let's read these scriptures here. It says in verse 4 here, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May the Lord have a blessing to the hear and read of His word. You may be seated. Saints, right up here. We are living in the now generation. And whatever we want, we can often find a way to get it immediately. Can I get amen? We can. There are things we desire. There are things what we want. But are those the things that God would want you to have right now? And so, this could be good if it's a legitimate and pressing necessity that we need. There's things that we need them. And we don't have to pray about it because we need them. How many need finances to pay your bills? Come on. All right. This is something we go, oh God. No. Those are things that we need. We need food every day. We need water. Those are necessity of things that we need. But saints, it could also be dangerous if we desire, and the desire that we have, is not something that what God wants for us. The problem with having now, the now thinking, is that we don't pause to consider the consequences of our actions. So one of Satan's tactics, saints, is to keep our minds on the pleasures and benefits of whatever he's offering us. How much better it would be if we submitted our desires to the Lord and waited on him. Why? Because he knows exactly what we need. Can I get amen? Yeah. So King David understood this. How many believe that after reading the life of King David, his life was like a roller coaster? He was on the mountaintop, and then he would do face plants before the Lord. Huh? But one thing about King David that I love about him is that he never turned his heart against God, because the Bible says that he had a heart after the Lord. And so when he wrote Psalms, look at this, Psalms 27:11 is this, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Listen, every one of us has enemies. We do. Whether they are people or whether they are spiritual. But the Bible says that there are spiritual darkness in high places. Can I get an amen? We know that the demons hate us. If you are living for Christ, you are born again, filled with the Spirit of God, we are marked people. Why? Because the power that lives within us can bind and rebuke them. There's no other entity, there's no other power on this planet that has the authority through the Word of God to bind and rebuke the enemy. But the church has the power because it was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says here in verse 12. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out violence. You see, in our society today, I've said it like this, we are seeing demons manifested in our nation. Look at the mobs, just people that are just wicked in heart. They want to slander you and kill you. Oh, yes, they do. Look what it says in verse 13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so, even in the midst of darkness, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So it doesn't matter how dark it may look, we have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? We've got the grace of God, the mercy of God, and we have the will of God operating in our life as born-again believers, as children of the Most High God. But the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. How many of you right now are probably going through situations of life where you have to make a hard decision? Huh? How many of you? Well, we're going to take a look at a story in the Old Testament, and we're going to look at two brothers, where through one moment of time, and I'm talking 1 hour, 1 minute of time, a whole destiny was changed. A whole destiny was changed through one man's decision. Something that this one brother forfeited. He forfeited just for a moment. And this is what the Lord, I believe, is trying to emphasize with us this morning, is what are we going to surrender to for one moment of time? Just for one moment. And so, saints, Abraham's son had twins with his wife, Rebekah. Esau was the firstborn and grew up becoming a skilled hunter. But Jacob was a peaceful man who preferred staying home. And so one day, Jacob, he cooked up some stew. Esau came in from hunting and said, please, let me have a swallow of that red stuff there, for I am famished, meaning he was starving. Man, it probably was menudo. I don't know. But he wanted a bowl of that. He was hungry. How many of you walked in, man, and you were starving, man, and there was a pot of menudo there? Man, I mean, we're just going to, we'll lap it up, won't we? Okay, so someone doesn't like menudo. What's that pastor talking about? I don't even listen to them. So, saints, Jacob, he had cooked up the stew, and Esau came in from hunting. And he was a hunter. You know, he was the rugged guy. He said, please, let me have a swallow of that red stuff, for I am famished. Jacob told Esau, if he'd swear to sell him his birthright, he would give him some stew. Whoa. That was a serious trade right there. It was a bribe. It's what, that's what the word was. It was a bribe. Yeah, man, I'll give you a big bowl of it. But you got to give me your birthright. He says, Jacob told him if he'd swear to sell him his birthright, he would let him have some stew. Saints, Many people today are living for the moment and are willing to pay any price to get what they want. This is the situation we see in the story of Jacob and Esau, recorded in Genesis, on how each brother responded to this situation that teaches us, you and I, an essential lesson. And so look at the quick story in the book of Genesis, right up here. In Genesis 25 through 34, the Bible says, so when the days were fulfilled for her to give birth, which was Rebekah, indeed there were two twins in her womb. And the first came out red, and he was like a hairy garment all over it. And so they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was about 60 years old when she bore them. Verse 27. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in the tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. There you see, sometimes, unfortunately, in the best of families, there's always one that's favored over the other, huh? What can you say? What can you say? It happens in all families. Yeah, I love them all, but this one I love a little better. And so boys grew. Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was what? Weary. Weary. Verse 30. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am... I have to believe that's Manolo. Or Pasole. Therefore, his name was called what? Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? What is it to me? In other words, because he was so starving and he wanted that bowl, it didn't matter. What has God entrusted with you that doesn't matter no more? Don't matter no more. Well, let's look at this. And Jacob says, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of the lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Wow. He gave it up. Listen. In the tradition of Israel, the eldest son would carry on the name, and all that the father had stored up goes to that, and the birthright is given to that firstborn son to carry on the family name and to carry on with the traditions and also the wealth that came with it. He gave it up for a bowl of soup. He says, oh, what does this mean to me? I don't care. Yet Esau was willing to give it up. Saints, listen. In a Hebrew family, the birthright was a very precious possession of the eldest son, which granted him the place of headship, honor, and authority in the family, as well as the most of the father's property after his death. Listen, they were wealthy back then in those days. They had thousands of sheep and goats and all these things. That was the Bill Gates of the day. He gave it all up for a bowl of soup. Wow. Yet Esau was willing to trade away everything for the privilege of just having that bowl of soup. His choice demonstrated that he despised his birthright. Esau's mindset is a perfect picture of our society today, which tends to think only of the present without considering the future consequences. Oh, yes. Let's look up here. When do we sacrifice our future for the pleasure of the moment? When do we do that? Well, let's look at these principles. Number one, when we disregard the sacred values in life. You see, saints, God gave us what? Ten commandments as a law by which we are to live our life toward God. And yet, our society has removed the Ten Commandments out of the school system, out of the court system, out of society. So when God says, thou shalt not murder, if you remove that, then it gives the license to murder. And this is why there's 60 million aborted today. That's why there's blood spilt across the land. Did you know that there's at least 4,000 being aborted on a daily basis throughout the land? The blood spilling. Wow. Is that a serious indictment from God? Why? Because someone had a moment of pleasure. Someone had a moment, I'm just going to gratify myself, and now they're facing the consequences. And so now, then they turn to, well, now I got to eliminate from this bad choice. So it's going from the frying pan into the fire. What else do we sacrifice? Number two, when we insist on immediate fulfillment of our desires. For that one moment. You know, it only takes one time to smoke a bong or to do a line. And the craving will have you going back for more. One of the things that we see in the Word of God are two characters. For the moment, they refused to listen to God. It's almost like they plugged their ears and they closed their eyes for the moment because they wanted to have their moment of their fleshly desire. David and Samson are two biblical examples of this. King David yielded to his lust for Bathsheba and resorted to the murder of her husband when she became pregnant. In other words, he had many wives already. He wanted another one. And so he went and ravished her while her husband was in the army battling away. And then got her pregnant and says, man, I got to hide this sin. So I'm going to have the husband killed in the front lines. And why do you think the prophet came to him? You see, saints, the pleasure of a moment yielded painful circumstances for the rest of his life. Even though David became the king, and even though the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ came through him, he still had to suffer the consequences of having a house that was out of order. It was a dysfunctional family from that moment on. Samson was given supernatural strength by God to fight the Philistines. But his desire for Delilah led him to foolishly tell her the secret of his great strength. And he gave up his secret. It's my hair. You know, he was probably the kind of guy that went like this. I'm hoping my new body, I can do that. Can't with this one. So as a result, she cut the hair and the Philistines overpowered him, bound him and binded him and threw him into prison. And they gouged out his eyes. He could no longer see anymore. Why? For a moment of pleasure. That was his bowl of soup. I'm just going to keep going as long as I can with this. And the whole time, the devil's scheming on how to take you down. And so he wrecked and ruined his life by seeking his own desires instead of obeying the Lord. Look at number three. Number three is when our focus is on the worldly rather than the eternal, is when you'll get tempted to eat that bowl of soup. That's right. I don't care how many tortillas you got warmed up to eat with that soup. Saints, when we tend to think that we can pursue whatever we want because no one will know, or including God will notice, we forget that his principles never fail. Can I get amen? So when you think no one's looking and no one's there and I decided to do this, what about the principles of God? Are you going to abandon them too? What you've learned and what you've heard and the things that God says, this is what you do to be blessed and this is what you do to have a cursed life. You can't have in between. There's no middle ground. Can I get amen? You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. There's no gray area. And so these men we just read, Samson and David, and Esau, it's identified on what took place in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians says this, and it identifies saints. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. How many believe that you know enough word to teach the word of God to people that don't know God? Can I get an amen? God has equipped you. God has strengthened you. God has given you wisdom and knowledge. But he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of what? The flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit, notice capital S, that's Holy Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so I know for some of you have been on this road with Christ a long time. A long time. Some of you are just, man, I just got my running shoes a couple of weeks ago or maybe a year ago. And you're fresh. But there's some that have been on the road for a while. Well, God encourages us in the Word. Can I get amen? Because only God can strengthen you and encourage you. It says right here, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Fight the good fight of faith. Live holy, sanctified. You know, lay aside those weights and sins that so easily beset us, that we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. We talked about the prizes and the crowns last week, didn't we? Those are real jewels of heaven that God wants to bestow upon us, but he's looking for a life of obedience and a life that will discipline itself so that you can obtain those things that he has for us. He just doesn't give them to you to give them to you. He's looking for you, as Brother G said earlier, he's looking for action. He's looking for your life to act upon the things that God says is holy and good and wholesome for us. And the things that are wasteful in life, learn to let them go. There's some things you just got to let go and let God. Remember that. Let go and let God. Look at this. Verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Especially to those who are the household of faith. God is looking for you and I to entreat one another with a good spirit, a good heart. Never to tear down, but to always build us up. Can I get amen? Listen, we're all We're all going to miss the mark. We all fall short. But it's not the time to grab mud and sling it at them when they do fall or fail. Our job is to come and pick them up. Our job is to come and pray for them. Our job is to come and just say, you can make it. Come on. Just brush yourself off and let's keep moving. I'm reminded during wartime that the paramedics will go through the fields and there are some that are wounded, but they will still pick them up and says, you can still make it. Come on. We're going to get wounded in life. There's going to be things that you didn't anticipate in life. And God is saying, listen, I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. God has the best yet to come. Hallelujah. Yes, he does. He has the best yet to come. And so we are to do good to the household of faith, especially the saints of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. So what is the thing that we sacrifice our future for the pleasures of a moment? Look at number 4 here. When we make irrevocable decisions in periods of physical and emotional weakness. I'm telling you, that's the times that we really get weak. When we're emotionally distraught and we're physically distraught. Hey, there are times, man, wow, my whole body hurts. Maybe you're not quite yet 60 yet. Keep on living. You'll get there. I remember when I was 20. Man, I just jump out of bed and put on my cape. That's right. I was Superman back then. And now I need super help. I do. That's my witness right there. My wife is long suffering. That's why he blessed me with her, because you know what? She has a heart of gold. And she was tailor-made for me. I don't know if I was tailor-made for her, but she was tailor-made for me. But she's told me many times she loves me. That's all that matters. Even in my shortcomings, that's all that matters. So saints, this is exactly what Esau did. In a moment of fatigue and exhaustion, he forgot about the future and traded away his promised position of authority and power in the family for a bowl of soup. Later, when he wanted it back, it was too late. He had lost his birthright forever. Sin cannot be hidden from God. Can I get an amen? Its satisfaction is only temporary, and regrets will follow. It will. Oh man, I just want this night. I just want to have this one night with you. And the next day, wow. Just for that night. And now you're going to suffer the consequences. For that moment of pleasure, for just putting Jesus on the shelf, I'm leaving you here right now. This is why Paul the Apostle exhorted us. He exhorted the church. Can I get amen? How many believe that God's for you and not against you? How many believe that God will equip you? That God will strengthen you? That God will fulfill the call in your life? All he's looking is for a heart that will submit unto his will. Can I get amen? That's why he wrote in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. God is saying, just present to me your very best. Hallelujah. He's looking for a spirit of excellence in your life. Can I get an amen? He knows your faults. He knows your failures. He knows those things that sometimes trip us up. But he's saying, God, he's looking up for us and say, God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And when you can believe God for everything that he has given you, everything that he's done for you, everything that he's about to do for you, that should cause you with that state of mind that says, nevertheless, God, I want to serve you the rest of my life.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
How many are so blessed to be translated from darkness into his marvelous light? How many are so blessed that he didn't leave you out there? Hallelujah. Hanging out with all those that just want to destroy their lives and destroy yours with it. He pulled you out of the muck and mire. And he placed you on solid rock. Hallelujah. And he has called you now a son and a daughter of the Most High. And better yet, he has called us friends. Man, the God who created and spoke the whole entire universe into existence took the time out to come down and call you a friend. Wow. That's mind-blowing when you get a hold of that. Number five. When we have no respect for spiritual things, that's when we just surrender everything. Why? Because we don't honor the things of God. My goodness. This is a place where no man or woman should ever tread. I know there are times when we miss the mark. The Bible says we miss the mark. But God is looking for a continual heart that will daily be repentant toward him, that will daily surrender to his will, that will daily confess to him that he is God and we are not. Can I get amen? You see, God is looking for those who have a heart like silly putty. Remember the old silly putty? You can mold it and fashion it any which way you want it. That's what God wants to do with our heart. He wants to do those things. But we learned and we've read in the Old Testament that King Saul, who the people wanted as a king. In other words, Israel didn't want to be under the sovereign rule of God anymore. They wanted a human king like all the nations that didn't know God, that didn't honor God. They were heathenistic people, but they wanted a king like they had a king. So God says, okay, you want a man? I'll give you one. And guess who they chose? They chose Saul. The Bible says that he was handsome. He was probably yoked. He looked like he had all the goods. This is the one we want. Oh, yeah, look at him. Man, we can admire him and be under his rule. So they selected Saul, but Saul was not selected by God. Watch out. Watch out on the things that you select. Are they of God? Or are they because this is what I want for right now? Are they from God? Because there's consequences. We see throughout Samuel what happened to King Saul. Look at this. In 1 Samuel 15:26, but Samuel said to Saul, oh, look at this. Samuel, the prophet, he had to come to Saul many times. And why did the prophet come to Saul? Because God would send the prophet to tell him, he doesn't obey me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't do the things that I'm asking him to do. So the prophet would always have to come and call him on the carpet. He would have to always come and reprove him and say, what are you doing, King Saul? This is not what God requires of you. So in 1526, but Samuel the prophet said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as being king over Israel. Listen, that's a place that you and I do not want to tread. Is when we leave the will of God and we're out there doing our own thing and we continue to stay out there. The last thing we want is God to reject us because of a hardened heart. Because whatever is building up and say, you know what? Many of us, we all want a Burger King life. Having it my way. But there are things that we need to surrender to God. Say, God, I know that this is pleasure right now. I'm going to give it to you to see if you will give it back to me if that's what you want for me. But King Saul, he was told to kill all the Amalekites. Destroy even the animals and don't take anything. We don't want it. It's tainted. And what did he do? He went in there and he looked at all the choice sheep and goats and says, no, we'll salvage these. Let's take, and we'll take that gold over there too. God said, leave everything behind. God is saying, what kind of sin in your life does he want you to kill? And leave it there. Look at this. Then what happened here? In 1 Samuel 16:4, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Listen, when people walk away from their call, when they walk away from their post, when they walk away from serving God, hallelujah, guess what? The presence of God will refrain. And says, listen, I've anointed you, I've called you to do my will, to serve me, the Lord Jesus Christ. But people find themselves like this, and then they wonder why they're so miserable. Because God will send spirits that will make it miserable for you, so that you will fall back on your face and repent. King Saul never... We never hear in Scripture that he repented. What reminds me of King Saul, when the prophet came to him, and says, you have sinned, King Saul. He goes, oh, please, please. He wasn't repenting. He was no different than what my brother shared with me when he was a police officer. He would apprehend people, throw them in the back seat. And they back there, they would be crying. They would be crying. But you know why they were crying? They weren't crying because they repented of their sin. They were crying because they got caught. There's a difference. You can get caught and cry, whoa. And yet, you're not crying about your sin. You're not crying about your transgression. That's what happened to this king. Wow. That's the last place. That's the last place you and I would ever want to find our place in. Can I get amen? Where the Spirit of the Lord departs. You on your own. Wow. If we see it happening here, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen? He changes not. But we always like to think, well, we always like to put God in our box. This is how you operate. You got to go back to the Word. Now, number six. When we fail to examine the possible consequences of our actions. That's why that word action came today. Brother G didn't, he don't know my notes. I didn't email him my message. But the Spirit of God knew what to say. You see, there was one character. Man, please, never name your child Judas. Judas walked with Jesus as one of his disciples because he thought Jesus would overthrow Rome. That he would liberate Israel and rule the world at the present time. When he didn't get what he wanted, he betrayed Jesus and suffered eternal condemnation. He sold. In other words, that 30 pieces of silver, that was his bowl of menudo. Just give me that. And I'll let you know where he's at. Saints, at any time we sin in seeking our desires, consequences will follow. Can I get amen? Instead of rushing ahead to fulfill our longings, we should consider God's will and timing for our lives. There's timing in all things. Can I get an amen? So let me ask this question. It's right up here. What is in our bowl today that carries disastrous consequences? I'm going to point some things that we can rejoice that God has delivered us from. Can I get amen? But I'm also want you to look in the light of it is the condition of this nation. The condition of our state, the condition of our city, the condition of our neighborhood. You see, before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, we were all, I'm going to tell you without a shadow of a doubt, we were all men and women most miserable. Why? Because we were looking for that one thing to satisfy our longing desires for pleasure and for joy for the moment. That's how we lived our life, didn't we? Right now, it's football season. So before I got saved, we would wake up early. Early. Couldn't wait for that game to come on. All kinds of friends come over. All the beer and all the junk. And we would worship that game. And every time they lost, I'm talking about the Chargers, we would go into a funk for about a week. Looking for something to fill that void. We were looking for something to fill that void. And it was ongoing every week, all the way to the last week. And knowing that before the last week came, there was no playoff hopes. Oh, but maybe next year. But one of the things that we can look at that has severe consequences. So let's go through some of these. I won't make this message long today. I know sometimes you'll be listening and I'll get this. I wish I could yawn like that. I'd be gone too. So what's in your bowl today that carries disastrous consequences? Number one, alcohol. We can buy and drink all we want and feel good for a while, but the results of becoming enslaved to it are difficult and long-lasting. But look what the scripture says about this. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. We all think of the grievous sin, but how about those who just get drunk all the time? Hey, what's up? Nor revelers or revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Won't. It says, will not. Does your Bible say will not? It says, well, I don't know, maybe. Will not. And how many are so blessed that he has delivered us from that? Huh? Because the next of the verse, if you got your Bible out, and such were some of you. But now we've been washed, we've been cleansed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at the next item. Having a prejudiced spirit. Passing judgment on others simply because you don't relate to them. That never pleases God. Look what Proverbs says. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. The slander that that man had to endure for 3 weeks. There was no truth. FBI said, we can't find anything that corroborates this. And the last thing you and I want is FBI snooping in your dough. They'll find all the dirt and muck and mire in your life and put it on a screen. That's the most intense searching out who you are. And he calls those slanderers fools. Listen, never call anyone a fool. Can I get an amen? You know, back in the day, what's up, fool? Did you know you called someone a fool, and a fool, the Bible says, is going to hell. Because God sends fools there. Oh, that's another study for another time. But whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Listen, we ought to get along with one another, amen? We're supposed to love our brothers and sisters despite of the color of our skin. Despite of whether you're Democrat or Republican or independent, regardless of your political affiliation, is we are what? Made of flesh and blood, created in the image of God. We're to love one another. Can I get amen? Oh, this one. Man, aren't you so blessed that God came and delivered you from this? By the grace of God, saints, and in the will of God, December, I'll be 60. And for 30 years, because I got saved when I was 30, I still remember the day when a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship led me to the Lord. I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. Now, with that tainted past, I know I could never be a justice of the peace. But in God's heaven, I'm called a saint of God. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? He'll take a life of debauchery and turn it around and make it beautiful in his sight. And so when he looks down upon you and me that are washed in the blood, filled with his spirit, he says, man, I don't see their sin. All I see is the blood that covers your sin. But look what it says here. No one ever intends to become addicted to drugs, but the sought after pleasure and relief soon turn into bondage. Now look what happens here. Now, did you know that the word sorcery doesn't give us a true definition of what that word means? We think it's Merlin the magician with the wand, you know, that he's a sorcerer, you know, out of Harry Potter or something. No. The word sorcerer in the Greek is pharmacia, which means basically pharmaceutical. It means drugs. Drugs that we take to alter your natural state of mind. And so in Revelation 21:8, it says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, drug users, drug addicts, drug dealers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know some folks are still lighting it up? You still know folks that are still drinking until they can't even walk no more? You know people that are still... Let them know. This is what awaits them if they don't turn their life to God. That God has a better way. Can I get an amen? God has a better plan. God has a way that can set us free. Listen. For those who get caught up in this, they basically said, I want that bowl of soup now. For a moment of pleasure. And then they'll face the fiddler down the road. Look at this. Bitterness. It begins with anger and grows into more destructive emotion that affects our entire being. So now we go from a physical connotation to an emotional one, to a heart condition. God looks at every aspect of our life. Can I get amen? He looks at mind, body, and soul. He looks at everything. He's got the x-ray vision that looks down in our life. Is there people in your life that you still hate? You don't talk to no more? They should have never said that to me. Huh. Look at what the Bible says. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another just as Christ has forgiven you. I'd rather do it God's way. Can I get an amen? How many would rather do it God's way? Come on. God is saying, man, you know what? Just let that go. Still learn to forget. Did you know when Jesus was on the cross and he was beaten to death? I mean, the flesh ripped from him. You couldn't tell. Isaiah says you couldn't tell his gender no more. His whole body was hamburger meat on the cross. And yet he looked into the audience that was there, still mocking him all the way till his death. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What? What kind of love is that? Huh? We can't even fathom that kind of love. We really can't. Because I know, if we was up there being falsely accused like him, we would want vengeance. If I could get down, I'm coming to get you. You. That's our human nature, huh? This is why we couldn't get on that cross for no one. Because we would pick and choose. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. He died for all of us. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now, one of the things that takes place in our society, and it's commonplace now, it's in the movies, it's in sitcoms, it's everywhere you look, is adultery. Although it's often glamorized in our culture, adultery destroys individuals and families. It rips the heart out of someone's chest. When you found out that there was distrust that something like this could ever occur, it's hard to reconcile those things. You would have to have the whole heart of God to forgive. And yes, that's why we need his spirit, because in order to forgive someone with this act, you need supernatural power. Can I get amen? You can harbor hate all your life, all the way down to your last breath. But without God's supernatural power to forgive that person, regardless, you will take that to the grave. Look at this. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God will judge. You and I don't even have to say anything no more. You go, you know what? God teach me to forgive. God teach me to just continue. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything because you will be the final judge, not me. If it was left up to us, we've already hogtied that person in our mind. Hung him upside down and beat his feet. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. What else is in the bowls that are going around town? Fornication. Not believing God to live holy and sanctified, having a spirit of self to only gratify oneself. This unrepentant lifestyle sends one to hell. For that moment of pleasure. Oh man, I just want to be loved. Don't you want to be loved? No, you just want to live in sin. Look at this. Look what it says here. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why, be careful on what you watch. Really. Because what you see on TV now is people laying with each other with no consent. And that consent is voided of God. I know this is a solemn message, but you know what? This, when I saw our society this week, this is what's taking place in our own society right now. Slanders and liars and murders and all kinds of things. Where is righteous judgment? Where is righteous laws? Where are the righteous people? Where's the church? Where is the church? Where is the church? Where is the church? Abortion, it may seem like a way to escape a difficult situation, but those involved in abortion carry a heavy weight of guilt. The Bible says, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Did you know that God's word doesn't change? It doesn't change. I'm almost done. Hatred. If we feel justified in our hatred, it damages our emotions, our health, our attitudes, and relationships with others and with God. I know some of us have been hurt by other people. I know some of us have been hurt in other churches. I know some wonderful people have hurt us in our past. But remove the hate in your heart. Amen. That's right. Can I get amen? Amen? Remove the hate in your heart. Matthew 22 says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Aren't you so blessed that none of us wrote these things, that God wrote them? I know some of you came in here with some tomatoes in your bag. Well, that's okay. I'll just hide like this. I can still preach through this glass right here. I'm just looking to see that we don't exchange a moment of time for a red bowl of soup. Unforgiveness, the right response to every offense, is forgiveness. But harboring unforgiveness is a sin that hinders our lives. Jesus said, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Oh my gosh. You know what? That right there alone cannot be negotiated. That's something that you can't go to God and say, well, God, you don't know what they did. Yeah, I saw it all. But God, it was hurtful. Yes, I know. But God, it was humiliating. Yes, I know. But God, now they're making a mockery of it. Yes, I know. And then God will give you in your mind that all those things that happen to you happen to Jesus on the cross. And he just didn't take your situation. He took the whole world's. Everything that was pitted against everyone's life was nailed to the cross for you and for me. And the last bowl here is anger. When we hold on to anger for wrongs committed against us, our bodies, our feelings, our spirits, our relationships suffer. Did you know that you can suffer with a physical ailment that the doctors don't know why you're suffering from this? It's because down deep, you're still angry at someone. You're still bitter. Ephesians says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Can I get an amen? Saints, God has a beautiful call for your life. God has yet the best to come. God wants to give you his very best. All he's saying is when that bowl of red soup comes to your table, push it away. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah, it smells good. Man. No, push it away. Don't do what Esau did. Can I get an amen? Don't do what King David, who's suffering, he had to suffer, and Samson, who lost his eyes for a moment, a pleasure. So I close with these. I always close with these. Number one, have you, like Esau, ever traded something precious for a moment's pleasure? I think we all been down that road, huh? Huh? Did we? Oh, come on. Did we? No, you've been an angel all your life. Come on. You've done nothing. You've thought of nothing bad in your life. Come on. You've been innocent all your life, right? Wrong. What God is saying to us as the church is to be careful for that next time.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Because the devil will come to tempt you. Oh yeah, I'll tell you, the most delicious bowl of red soup is found at this restaurant here called Delish. It's called a tomato soup. Oh man, it's so good! Just imagine, Esau, man. Man, that was so good. I want it. Now, wait a minute. You got to give me all the inheritance that my daddy's giving you for this bowl of soup. What inheritance? He gave it up. Number two, what consequences did you experience? For me, I'm rattling on my own self. I destroyed my first marriage. Number one, I wasn't saved. I was living for self. I was a drug addict, drug dealer, everything that was ungodly. I'm telling on the devil right now.
That's right. The truth and shame of the devil.
I was walking in darkness. But it was the grace of God that had a plan for me. He had a plan for you. Can I get amen?
Amen?
I don't know what God delivered you from. I don't know what God has done in your life. But all I can say this is that we serve a good God.
Amen.
And I don't care what you've been involved in. I don't care what you've done in your past. I don't care what you're facing right now. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. He is able to wash you and cleanse you and give you eternal life. Can I get amen?
Amen.
A life of hope.
Yes.
He can add to your life a destiny.
Yes.
That'll bring glory to him and to enrich your life. even through life's trials and tribulations. Because becoming a Christian doesn't make you immune to trials. Can I give you amen? But you are strengthened by Him to enter into those trials. Number three, what lessons did you learn from it? Yeah, I learned a lot. I learned never to hang out with those folks no more. I learned to stay away from those things that entice me. So when I go on a diet, I don't go into a donut shop for a Diet Coke. Oh, come on. We look in that glass drawer, man. And you haven't had one in months. I'm sorry. You know what? There are places we just have to learn to stay away from. Can I get an amen? There's some folks we can't just hang out no more. We still have friends and family, man. They like to pop. Amen. They still like to take it to the head. There's some things we need to stand and not be a part of. And let them know. You keep on drinking, that liver will be gone real soon. How many know people that have lost their livers because they just kept putting it down and putting it down? And then time was up. Number four, the next time you have a strong desire and the ability to fulfill it, what should you do to ensure that you do not make that foolish mistake again, that decision again? Here's the key. Go to the Lord. And then go to the Word. Look in the Word. Lord, does this line up with you, God? Because if this is going to bring me condemnation, if this is going to entice me, if this is going to tempt me, if this is going to bring some kind of ill will toward me, then God, I don't want it. I want to abide in you. I want to abide in your love. I want to abide in your grace. Can I get amen? Saints, this message is to strengthen us, because you know why? Did you know the devil's relentless on trying to trip you up? He comes 24/7. He'll come pay you a visit. Oh, yes, he does. And number five, what spiritual benefits and fruit come from denying ourselves from our desires? You know what spiritual fruit comes? Grace and mercy and love. We may not see it with the natural, but man, in the spiritual, knowing that God is with you, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that He's empowered you, that He's anointed you, that He has shielded you, that He has given His angels to come around you, that when you walk wherever you go in this life, whether it's to the grocery store, whether it's to a friend's house or to a family member's house, or wherever you go, that the anointing of God will be upon you and people will see a difference about you. They'll know that you've been in the presence of God. They'll know that something's different about you. And that's what God is looking for our life, to bring forth spiritual fruit. Not rules and regs. I can tell the sisters all day long, man, you need to wear a dress that goes past your ankles. Or you brothers, you need to wear suits. But that's well and said. But what's going on in your heart? That's all that matters. Is that your heart is right with God. Can I get an amen? Amen? That your heart's right with Him. It's not the exterior. It's the interior of the heart. That's why you don't see any rules and regs here. Why? That'll drive someone out. They'll understand, I can't live up to this expectation. No. Just live for God and He'll show you. He'll clothe you with His righteousness. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want to pray for us right now. And I'm hoping those who could make it out tonight, we're back here at 6. We're just here for an hour. There was a preacher on the Jim Baker show the other night. He said, the reason why the church is powerless is because there's no one praying no more. Revival comes, salvation comes, when people are, their faces planted to God, crying out for souls. Crying out for souls. Crying out for souls. I'm praying that this message will help us and strengthen us to come out for an hour. But I understand when we get tired. I understand when we get sleepy. I understand. But we're reminded that Jesus had to come and wake up his disciples. Can you stay up for 1 hour with me? I'm praying that God will just continue to work mightily in your life supernaturally. I've heard so many wonderful testimonies that how God is using a lot of you in here. That lets you know that you're doing the will of God. And that God wants to use you mightily. Can I get an amen? Listen, he always, never would say to you, I don't want to use you for my will. That's why he saved us, to do his will. Can I get amen? So that opportunity to love him and to serve him is 24/7, saints. We just have to yield to him, that's all. So I'm praying right now for those who just needs to be strengthened, who just needs to know that, God, thank you. Thank you for taking away that bowl of soup that was on our table. You removed it. Thank you, God. And I pray for those right now who may not even know you. I'm praying for those that are here or those who are listening to this message that you would do something supernaturally. That you would give someone the ears to hear and the eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to them. And that you would give them a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance. And so if that's you listening right now, we want to pray with you. It's a simple prayer. Pray this simple prayer. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I thank you, Lord, for all the trials that I went through and how you saw me through. I thank you, God, even the times where even I disobeyed you willfully, yet you never gave up on me. You still pursued me. And so, God, I thank you. And I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give him a shout of praise and glory. He's worthy, saints. How many believe that God is really worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.